Some women impersonate Sex and the City's Carrie Bradshaw with vast closets full of fantastic clothing. Even Sarah Jessica Parker pretends to be Carrie Bradshaw when she walks the red carpet. However, there is one woman in New York City who, if he knew her, would have been Darren Star's real muse. Let me introduce you to Susan S. Warner, the adorable petite blonde who at 59 lost her handsome, extraordinary husband to cancer 6 months after her wonderful 32-year-old son died by suicide. It's now 4 years later. After the most challenging days and nights, Susan decided to live her best life possible. And just like that, Susan was suddenly single. Carrie may have Susan beat on exposure, but Susan has Carrie beat on life's experiences. Listen in.
If you are like Susan, you take your friendship seriously. Your friends can be like family to you. You feel like your life is safe and secure because you can count on a circle of friends for support. Different friends play different roles in your life. You do the same for them. Then your world gets turned upside down when you lose a spouse or a child or get divorced or end a relationship. The delicate balance in friendships can also be disrupted. All of a sudden, you start to see cracks in some friendships and strong new foundations in others. And in a perfect storm, relatives are also dear friends, and the circle continues. Today, she has mixed the old with the new and has found a really wonderful orchestra of relationships. Susan, what was the best surprise about your relationships with friends weeks and months after the deaths of your son and husband?
Hands down, and I can't even qualify it as a surprise because I wasn't surprised, but the depth of care and warmth and taking care exhibited by my friends was and is extraordinary. People just took over completely in the funerals and the memorial services. They took over Shiva, which was, we sat the full amount of time, and I've often said was mind numbing and soul numbing, but important. And then after everyone left, I wasn't deserted. I was not. And I told you my two girlfriends, Anne and Elizabeth, that walked with me every morning, my sisters-in-law that were extraordinary, my dear friends that called, that made sure that I was there and I was okay. So it was the depth and breadth of care that everybody exhibited.
I think about your answer, and I wonder if, you know, your family is so dynamic that people react that way, you know, your friends to your family and your family to your friends.
Well, that's a really, really incredible observation and a really incredible comment, because I'm one of those people that melds friends with family and friends with friends. Some people don't like doing that. They keep things very separate. So my dear friends know my family well. In fact, everybody jokes, you know, who's married to whom? Because I have so many. But yes, there was a great dynamic of people coming together to help Elizabeth and myself and Michael for David's cause, and then Elizabeth and myself when Michael died. So I think you're 100% right. Also, my family sets such a high bar that people, I think, strive to meet that, which is so interesting and so kind. So the depth of commitment from my family, and that's morphed and changed too over time, but, and for good, you know, I'm not in criticism, but that also set a really high bar for my friends, so that it all, yes, was somewhat of a reflection of the whole critical mass, not just one or the other.
Well, then, do you have the same friends as you did before Michael and David's deaths?
I have the same friends. Many of my friends continued. I met new people, and I pursued new friendships, and I have had some friends whereby we were friendlier as a couple, and that has weakened. So, as you said in your opening, I have old friends, I have new friends, and they all sort of work together. It's funny, I spend a lot of time referring to my new friends, to my old friends, as those people that, because they don't know them necessarily, or they've only had lunch with them once or met them once. But I have made new friends since the losses I've experienced. Yeah.
Do you have new friends and how do they? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say that, you know, when I first moved to New York, when Michael and I moved back to the city about 14 years ago, I met people and made friends, and I marveled that they were my friends, not because I drove carpool with them, not because they knew my in-laws, not because they grew up with Michael, for me. They were friends for me, and I loved that. And now, being single, it's happened to an even greater degree. People I meet like me for me, want to be my friend for me. There's nothing ancillary about it. You know, no carpools, no PTA, no charities, no, you know, certain specifics that fell into that genre. Mm-hmm. So I made friends for me, and that's very important and very special.
That is very special. That says a lot about you.
And them.
That's true. But this is kind of like repeating a little bit, but you have new friends and how do they develop? Are they categorically different from your old friends?
I like to think that the core of the reason that I choose friends is all the same. It has to do, I'm a giving person and I like to give to my friends and I'm active. So I'm up for activities. The people that I met afterwards see me differently, I think. They only know me in this light as being single and being active and being very, very independent. So there is a little bit of a difference. They all know my history, of course, but rarely refer to it because they don't really know the cast of characters. So it's somewhat different in that I don't need to explain the past. If I refer to David and Michael, it's usually a quick reference. There's very rarely a retort because they didn't know them. So the dynamic is different. And I think we have friends, as you said in the opening, for different reasons to fulfill different parts of our lives. And they do fulfill something that was not the norm. It wasn't a historical friendship who went through it with me. It's a new friendship that is in the moment. So it is different.
It certainly sounds like it. But do you resent the fact that, you know, that this is the stage of your life and that these people don't know the former you that might have been a much different person than the one you are today? I mean, how do you feel about that?
Not at all. Not at all. As we've discussed before, I feel that I've grown so much. And it's interesting that my friends that I made when I first moved to New York that didn't know me as a suburban, you know, family and didn't know the dynamics of my in-laws, et cetera, and they're really good friends, have said to me, you know, the change that we've seen over the last 10 years, how much you've changed. And of course, they're very positive about it, but we've seen you grow into this very, blossoming person. So no, I don't resent it at all. In fact, sometimes it's a relief because it's only a passing reference if it even comes up. And again, no head cocking, no feeling badly for me, no, you know, sadness sometimes behind the eyes that sometimes occurs with people because their loss of my family is categorically hard for them too. So no, it's the opposite. It's refreshing and they see me in a different light. So my friends from when I first moved to the city to my friends that are new see this growth and they're very supportive of that. Really, really supportive of that. And that's really special for me. Really special. And even some friends, I have a particular girlfriend that I've become closer to since my losses. Her husband was my husband's roommate in college. We were friendly before, but we're really close now. She's a spectacular friend. And she is watching me grow because she knew like the old me from what people talked about and what she saw. And she is so super supportive and we've become really, really close. So that's been great too. So no, most of this is a positive journey where people are giving me different things and I'm giving them different things to make both lives richer. So there's zero resentment, zero.
That's pretty amazing. Do your new friends understand and treat you the same way as your old ones? Did I ask that already?
No. No, you didn't ask it, but it's wound up in no. They only know this Susan. So let's say we call her Susan 2.0. They only know Susan 2.0. So they don't know my weaknesses as well, you know, particularly from the endurance. They don't know how shattered my life was. They just know that it's happened. They don't know all the journey. So no, they treat me a little differently. Not, you know, sometimes not quite as sympathetic, and sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad, but differently. And I like that. I love the diversity. I love the different people, you know, float in, float out for different reasons. There's different conversations. There's different purposes. There's different people who know different people. The 6 degrees of separation are different. I really thrive on that. I will tell you that I need my friends more than I've ever needed them in my life. And because I do spend time alone, a lot of time alone, in the city and out east, I use the phone a lot, and I talk to my friends a lot, and we check in a lot. We have a thing, my friends in New York, that if you don't hear from one another in a day in a simple text, you text. Because if you live alone, no one knows if something happened to you. And out right. east, a lot of my girlfriends are in their houses alone. Husbands aren't there all the time. You know, children are grown. We have a little bit of a pact that you check in with each other. You know, you leave each other at dinner at 10 o'clock at night. Everybody drives home. Did everyone get home okay? So we do a little bit right. of checking in, which when you have a spouse, you don't do so much. And I find that really heartwarming and loving when I leave my two friends in the Hamptons and I get a heart home safely. Like, I like that. Or, you know, I hear from a girl, you know, haven't heard from you today, love, everything good? Yeah, I like that. Mm. So it's different. It's different when you're singular. And it's I find it heartwarming. And I find a whole lot of caring about me as a person, not me as a unit, not me as a couple, not me necessarily as a mother, not me necessarily as a working person, me as me. And I find that heartwarming and loving and caring, and I really enjoy it.
I have to say that I think that people that are listening, and I certainly feel this way, that you're highly unusual. Because most people I know...
Is that a euphemism for weird? Are you just being nice?
Not weird, but certainly different. Because in this world of selfies and self-absorption, that's the word, being self-absorbed, somebody else in your circumstance, and I'm sure somebody's out there going, yes, 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 Lois, would say, no, you want all the attention on yourself. You want them to know every bit of everything about you. And when they see you, they should ask you a million questions so you could talk about yourself. That is the way the world is
now.
So I don't know what pill you took to get you this way. But I find it outstanding and very different. It's just, it's not the way the world is now. And certainly I meet people from all walks of life, old, young, you know, just business, non-business. And most people just want to talk about themselves. So I just have to make that statement because I want people who are listening to this to know that you're for real with what you just said. And this is not like some superficial made up thing.
No. Let's be honest though. I mean, as I said, I do talk on the phone to my friends a lot. And I use them as sounding boards. You know, I can call my friend and say, help, like I really need your opinion on this. And I won't necessarily say, hi, how are you today? How's your day going? You know, I'll launch right in. I think I'm a really good listener. I think I really care about what, and I have a good memory, so I care about what my friends go through and talk to them about it a lot. But that being said, I do use them as sounding boards. And I think when you do that with friends and you trust them and you really ask their opinions and value them, you get greater honesty and a greater relationship. So, I mean, please don't get the opinion that all I do is listen. I do have very meaningful conversations with my friends about things in my life to a select group of my friends. And they really help me through things. Sometimes, like, I don't agree with them, and I'll push back. You know, I just don't say yes, 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 thank you. I'll push back, and they respect that, and vice versa. So, yeah, I do really like listening to people, and I think that I'm a good sounding board, and as well. And And I have a very give and take relationship, I think, with my son. Very. This platform has also made it easier.
Mm-hmm.
People want to listen. They I think they want to listen. They've now learned a little bit more about me than I maybe was ever able to give up. I'm a bit of a private person. And it has made some friendships stronger. I have one girlfriend who is so intensely supportive of my work, where we always had a great relationship, but the support she has shown me and the comments she makes has really touched my heart. So that has increased our relationship. So this has been a very good catalyst as well.
Hmm. Well, then the next question is perfect that I'm thinking about. How do old friends look at your new life, given you have such a new, you have such a different life and less constraints and more time without a spouse? What are they saying about you? How are they talking to you? What are they saying?
Can I give you some phone numbers and you can ask them that question?
I was, you know what, that might be helpful for me personally. Yeah.
Yeah, it might be. Some people, I think, have had not as easy a time with it as who the other Susan was. I was Susan and Michael, one word. We were such a great couple and such a great dynamic and fun and responsible and dependable that I think there are certain people that might have trouble or have had trouble with, I'm not Susan and Michael anymore. And sometimes I think, you know, with my seeing men that maybe I disappoint people that have gone through my whole life with me that I can't bring Michael back. I'm not Susan and Michael anymore, but I can't. And I hurt for that. You know, I need to always be accepted for who I am, where I am, because I'm making the best life I can. And even though people hurt too and miss Michael and David, I do too. But I'm going out there to do the best I can. So that is an interesting question. I think at most, it's sometimes people want Susan and Michael back, but they can't come back. Not in the here and now. So that would be the biggest thing, I think. Hmm. Which is major,
like,
right?
Yeah. It sounds absolutely major. And it sounds like that you're putting the other people ahead of you in terms of missing David and Michael so much.
No. I think what I'm doing is I'm trying to say, maybe I wasn't clear enough, that, you know, I'm doing my best in the here and now with my relationships and everything I do, my life. So, you know, be understanding and understand that I can't be the old. I can't bring back the old circumstances. And I know lots of people miss the old circumstances. I miss the old circumstances, but I can't bring it back. So I'm doing the best I can. Please appreciate that I'm doing the best I can. That, you know, whatever I'm embarking on, life-wise, relationship-wise, you know, friends-wise, I'm doing the best I can to make the best life I can. So help me out here, you know? I miss them,
so
too.
Has,
I miss them, too.
Yeah. Has the definition of a good friend changed for you in recent years? You touched upon this, but, you know, just make a direct answer to this one.
I don't think so, except I've learned some things. I've learned, you know, don't chase friendships. That if you take your position out of the friendship and it deflates, then you're doing something wrong. You know, friendship should be always 50-50 and, you know, sometimes 60-40. And depending on your friend's position, because it should be fluid, you know, and I've written about this in Expectations. Sometimes your friends can't give you all you need. Sometimes you can't give your friends all you need because of where you are in your life. But that should be fluid. That should jump from period to period. So no, if a friend's going through something and you need to be there 80% to their 20, you should expect that. I think I'm more cognizant of that and a better friend because of that. I understand that it's not always 50-50.
You know
and
what?
That
you
made
just
me a better friend.
You just overwhelmed me because I was about to see somebody and tell them off about something. But I know that it's 60 my way, 40 their way now. So I'm going to back off. But
that may change. That should shift. Right. Yeah. But it should shift at some point in your relationship too. Or maybe you have friends that you're always bigger than in the friendship. But as I said, if you're pushing and pushing and chasing love and chasing affection, and if you take it out on a totality and the relationship would deflate, stop chasing it. It's not healthy. Right. And I've seen that for the first time, and that has made me a healthier person and a better person and more content. You know, if people get frustrated with friendships. If you're putting too much into it and getting frustrated, then you need to reevaluate the friendship.
That's very true.
But so I will say again, friendships are fluid. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot to think about. And I and everybody that's listening to it will certainly will. Do you have men friends? Do they treat you differently now that you're single? That's a whole other dynamic.
I do have men friends, and I like being friends with men. And there's a whole lot of debate there that people say that you can't be friends with men, and there's always going to be sexual tension in that dynamic. Maybe that's true, but men can offer different parts to friendships, a different dynamic. And I don't agree with that. And I believe that you can be friendly with men. And I would have a hole in my friendship life if you took my male friends out of it. Yes, maybe we have a little bit of tension. Maybe the dynamic is different than it is with girlfriends. Maybe we don't quite talk about the same things, but we talk about other things and we make different jokes and we have different conversations. So I find that I do have male friends and that people in relationships should not be threatened by male friends. Men have women as friends, and that it's enlightening to have friends of both sexes.
So what do you do about the tension?
You laugh. You know, it could be an off-color joke. It could be, you know, something someone says. You laugh. You change the subject. You call them on it. You don't call them on it. It's like any other thing that a friend says that might not be in the norm. It's all healthy and good and I think makes for a better rounded person and a better rounded friend.
Can you keep a men friend or a man friend, I should say, if the intent of that man friend is to make you something more than just a friend?
Do you know that, or are you speculating that as a person? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Everybody makes choices in life. I can't answer that if I don't know people's intentions unless they state them. So I would never assume that someone wants more or is their intentions are not what they appear to be. I take the friendship for what it is, for what we can give each other, and appreciate it on that level.
Okay. That's a good way not to answer me.
So. You know, a doctor I saw once said that in the relationship world of friendship, family, relationships, that their problem isn't necessarily your problem. You don't need to take it on. So if someone's intent is different than what you think it is or is, that's for them to solve, not you. And if you are both gaining something out of the relationship, then I think you should go forward with it, as long as you're never hurting at someone. You know that hurting someone or being dishonest or unfair is never my intent, never. So yeah, maybe that was a little cloudy too, but.
God bless you. Have you changed, or has the world changed in terms of general attitudes and friendships?
Not mine. I can simply answer that, not mine. I value them as much or more than I ever have in my life as I get older. I see the value in people. I became really, really close with someone's mother since I've suffered my losses. We were always friendly, but very, very close. And she's 93 and one of the coolest women I've ever known, and sharp and smart and loving. And what she's given me, and I think what I've given her, she's told me, has been so valuable. So maybe I have a clearer vision and a sharper eye in what friendships mean and how friendships hold no age or boundary. And that goes with male friends or older friends or younger friends. So it fits into the same category. I just value the friendships and the richness and depth it gives my life. So that goes along then with your previous question about people giving me richness and depth, that have become really paramount to my life and who I am. So I guess it's changed a little bit. You know, I have more time for my friends. So that has mm-hmm. changed too. You know, my husband and I were very, very close. Sometimes I say maybe too close because the loss was so huge. So given this extra space, I've been a better friend and had time for more friends. So maybe yes, maybe through my losses, I've become a better friend with more time and more energy and more brain space for other people.
So maybe that's a great way to put it. Yeah. So to wrap this up, and it's been a very interesting discussion and a lot to think about, what friendship advice can you give those who are experiencing loss? What can you tell them that can, I'm looking, Susan, for you to ease their pain and to help them get, okay.
I would say, you know, first and foremost, make yourself your best friend. Because once you do that, you're comfortable in so many situations. And I think once you do that, you meet more people and are friendlier. So be happy when you close the door. Be happy and make yourself your best friend. After that, be open to lots of relationships that can bring you richness and depth in your life, new relationships. And then lastly, depend on your friends. They buy into your feelings if you make them a part of the process. Don't shut people out. Don't say all the time, which I am guilty of, it's okay. My daughter calls me on that. Well, no, Mom, it's not. If you're telling me the circumstance and it bothers you, then it's not okay. When it's not okay, find a way to write it. If it's confronting the person, if it's pulling back, if it's pushing forward, find a way to make it right. Don't brush things off and be the friend that you want. Try to be that friend. Try to listen. Try to care as much as you want them to care.
I think you need to, before we end, I think you need to explain a little further. Maybe it's just me, but how do you be your own best friend?
Learn to like your own company. Learn to do things by yourself and get satisfaction. So I've said before, if I want to see a movie, I go to the movies with me. I don't talk to people during movies. In fact, I get annoyed when people talk to me. So learn to do that by yourself. Learn to be able to go to dinner by yourself. If it means looking at your phone or reading a magazine or reading a book, take it with you. Learn to love your environment. You know, climb into, as I claim, I have a beautiful bed. You know, decorating is really important to me. I climb into my beautiful bed, my beautiful sheets, and I either spend time talking to friends or make Netflix my activity. We were just talking about a show before we started this. Learn to enjoy your own company. You are really valuable. Enjoy being with you. I enjoy doing things with me. And that's key. You know, sometimes I'd rather be alone with me than be in the company of people that aren't as interesting as the night I have intended for myself. And that's made me my own. But you know, that, as I said, that could be Netflix, that could be, you know, it could be a lot of things. But sometimes I'd rather be with me. And that is with an evolution and a process.
You know, when you take a certain photo at an event and it's really great, you always say, that's the money shot. What you just said right now is the soundbite. I mean, that is really so important that I love you for saying that. Because I think I think if people who have suffered loss or, you know, in any way possible, what you just told them is something that could really improve their lives. So we thank you for that.
My pleasure. So with that, in the friendship game, friends are important, but learning to be your own best friend first is paramount. Everything else will come along. You know, you give what you get. You're happy with you. You walk down the street smiling. People smile back. You know, you're in a great mood. This morning, I went to pick up coffee, and then the man who was at Starbucks was also someplace else that I went. And he said, we're following each other, and we started to talk. And lovely guy, had two dogs. He went his way, I went mine, but I was open to talk. You know, I'm open to talk to people, meet people, make friends, and that's huge, huge.
Wow, what a big wow. Thank you, Susan, and we'll see you. This is episode, I think, 10, so we'll see you at 11.
Okay. Talk to you soon, Lois. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.